Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, show us the way and help us to stay on the path to your kingdom. And we pray for the saved and the unsaved. In Jesus' name, amen. King David in the Old Testament prayed, Lord, lead me on the path of righteousness. And our Lord does lead us on a righteous path. Now, some people have said the Lord's Prayer in a way that goes, lead us not into temptation. But God is completely holy, and God would not lead us into temptation. But as James 1:14 says, we are led astray by our own lusts. Today, these lusts might include, sex, drugs, and demonic activity. A struggle for power or for porn. And, of course, there is always money and the temptation that money brings. Well, we want to stay holy and on the path to our heavenly home. Of course, in history, we do hear about people who have fallen away. And then there's the ones who have come to know God through Jesus Christ. In life, we hear all sorts of stories about God and how he is in heaven. And so are the saints. We hear their stories. We hear the stories of the martyrs as well. We hear about rich and famous people that have many lusts. So there is everything in the world, and we want to choose the treasures in heaven and not the treasures on earth, which only last a lifetime. No, let us choose the eternal treasures in heaven. That is what we as Christ followers desire in our heart. And we want to stay out of that horrible hell place too. And we get this because Christ has paid the price for our sins on the cross. So we do have to determine this and figure some basic questions. If we do not know Jesus, we have to ask, does God exist? Is the Bible true? Is heaven a real place? Is hell real? And there are people who have asked these questions all through history. So today, it's about the same. People ask the questions and make determinations for their life. And the Bible is full of examples of people who either know God or refuse God. And the scripture tells the story. The Bible speaks of the people who do and do not believe, and this is what we can learn in part from the Bible. I think of Luke 12:19, where it says, there are those who would eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. And that is how some people choose to live their life, and other people are concerned about their eternal life and God's judgment. Our children learn from what they are taught, either in school or from the parents or other people close. And we might want to ask about what the development of any child is. What habits and behaviors are they learning? And so we want to be careful with what we say and what they say. Also, to guide their heart into the path of righteousness. But it has been so easy for us to manipulate our words and what we do. You might say that people lie. We know that one, don't we? And so we want the world to be a good, wonderful, and holy place. And so we follow things like the commandments of God. Well, I was thinking of 2 Samuel 18, where King David was involved with a military battle between Israel and Ephraim. It was a big battle, and the battle says that there were 20,000 casualties. So King David was a little bit older, and he did not go to the battle. Instead, he was waiting to hear what happened. And David's trusted soldier, Joab, was on his way back from that battle to tell the king how the battle went. And when he was about three-quarters of the way back to the king, there was an Ethiopian named Ahmez who caught up to Joab. Ahmez asked, "Do you mind if I go ahead?" And Joab said, "Go ahead." Well, Ahmez only saw the first half of the battle, and so he told the king that the battle was going well. Now, there's a little indicator that he might have known how the whole battle went, but he only saw the first half of the battle. So he had a good report for the king, and the king rewarded Ahmez with some silver. And then Joab arrived and tells the king about the entire battle. And we don't know if Joab received any reward or not, but the Bible tells about the situation, but maybe not the whole situation. Well, it makes me think about nowadays. Nowadays, there are people who only want to tell the good news of something. And that way, if you only have good things to say, you're more likely to get a little bit of silver, you know, like money. and that's something I wonder what's going on in the churches. I wonder if there are preachers who just want to tell the good news so that people respond more with money. Well, I think of that same situation with the pastors who only want to tell you the good news about one thing or another in the Bible. And I think about the rapture. There's always been the question about pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib rapture. And if you talk to people seriously, you will find out that they are all possible. But people favor one way or the other. And who can blame anybody for wanting a pre-trib rapture and not having any bit of difficulty here on earth? So the thing is it's not quite clear, and some preachers only preach the very best news out of the Bible. And I wonder if they do that in some way so that they can get a little more silver. And I think some of those same pastors want to have a expensive house and a nice new car. Well, we get to think about the possibilities and see, oh, what goes on, and then make our determinations from that. Well, I do wonder about that and all sorts of other things too. I mean, in life, we all do. But I've studied history and situations in modern days and looked at conversations that I've had with people all over the world, and I just kind of make some assumptions about what's going on. And a part of it is that we need to be prepared for whatever is coming. And there are indications that America has some troubles that are coming. Well, was this a week ago or two? There was Archbishop Carlo Vigano, and he was the nuncio, which means he was the ambassador from the Vatican, in this case, to the United States. Oh, let me go back a ways. In the year 2020, November 7th, I had a broadcast on Christ Today where between about minutes 12 and 25, I read that open letter from Archbishop Carlo Vigano to President Trump. It was an open letter, and it warned the world and Trump against the new order. And it was also a warning against Biden and that whole administration. So, oh, yes, and in that letter, there was a warning about the present pope. And the pope didn't like that, that archbishops said something that wasn't positive about the pope, so the pope fired him. Anyway, you can Google his open letter from, you can just Google it, it'll come up. Archbishop Carlo Vigano. Or if you want to listen on the November 7th, 2020 broadcast, I read that letter at that point. Well, there's a lot of conversations going on in many areas of the world, and there is a great question about what will happen in the world and to America. Now, the reason I brought up the Archbishop Vigano today is because he warned about something happening to an unnamed country. But it's just so obvious to me that that unnamed country is America, and he says the western part of that unnamed country will be shaken to its core as mountains awaken beneath the sea. So that was what he said about the western coast. And as for the eastern coast, he said that there would be a crashing of a mighty wave on the east coast. And then what he talks about is Jesus is our last hope. So always remember Jesus. But I got to thinking about that which he wrote to the general public. And I was thinking, well, I've heard people talk about the same kind of thing happening for, 35 years, about an earthquake on the west coast and a tsunami on the east coast. Oh, and now there's another factor that could be a concern, which is the submarines. And there is a submarine from Russia that is in the Atlantic Ocean, carrying what they call a Poseidon nuclear bomb, designated to cause a tsunami. And I have been following or listening to various Christians for many years, about 30 years, so they have had similar warnings as this Archbishop Vigano. And so it makes me pay a little more attention to what could be coming. And I have to remember that the other thing that is coming to all of us is that we are going to meet Jesus. And so we want to have a life that is dedicated to Jesus And that is something that we just want to remind everybody we know about the goodness of Jesus Christ and why we need to be a Christ follower. Well, there are conversations about attacks on America. Oh, and as I think back about that 30 years ago or more, there was Henry Groover who did talk about submarines attacking America. And there was David Wilkerson who saw enemies of America attack America. Oh, and before that, I mean, there was George Washington. He had a vision where he saw evil hordes crossing the ocean to attack America in a mortal, which means deadly, battle with Americans. Now, we can't say that this is entirely correct, but we can see that there has been a direction among people who just might know something. And that makes me say, hey, maybe I'll think about it. Hey, maybe I'll even get ready for something to happen. And sure, I don't know what it would be, but I always think of the basics of preparation, which is water, food, and warmth. And then I think of community as well, because if we have a hard time, we are going to need people and to be able to help people and get help from people. Similarly, if there was a war, we would have shortages and things would happen. So we would also want to be a part of a community. So the history tells us these things. Oh, the other thing that history tells us is there have been a lot of countries that have been successful and then they have collapsed. Now, you can look at that in a historical aspect, or you can even look at the Bible and notice that in chapter 18, there is the fall of Babylon. Over the years, there have been different people who have thought that the Babylon that they are talking about has been ancient Babylon or Rome or America. I do favor the view that it is America, but I know that it's just a view and all sorts of people have different ideas. I've heard a person talking recently that the Babylon that was referred to was Saudi Arabia. Now, there's reasons for everybody's opinion. It's just that we don't quite know what is true in the future. It's a mystery. And so we know that there are possibilities. I still watch things and think about them. There's the mystery of who is the Antichrist. And I know that they've been talk about the Prince of England, the Prime Minister of France, or then the Prince of Saudi Arabia. There are numerous reasons for any of these candidates. But the point that we have to remember is to lift up Jesus Christ and to follow Jesus Christ. Now, what that means to everybody can be a little bit different. We have a little idea, different idea about what it means to follow Jesus. And all I can say is, well, we want to do our very best and not just be able to tell somebody we are doing our very best, but when we are examined by Jesus in our judgment, he will know if we have done our very best, and so we just want to do that. I do think of, even if we do not understand what salvation is and how we get it, we do know that it is there through our faith. Always through our faith. It's not by our works, and that is said a couple of places in the Bible, including, Ephesians, I'll have to think of what chapter 2. But we have things going on where we know how important faith is. Now, I think of the faith that God told Moses to put a, if you remember in the Exodus, that is in Numbers 21, the people were getting bit by snakes in the desert. And so how to stop that? God told Moses to put up a brass snake on a pole, and anyone who looked at the brass snake on the pole would not be poisoned by the snake bite. Now, that seems pretty silly to us today, to many people, but the point is it is an exercise of our faith. It was an exercise of their faith, and for us to have the exercise of faith today leads to salvation. Now, this is demonstrated, John 3:14 talks about that snake on a pole in the wilderness, and I'm talking about faith right now. And this is something that we demonstrate our faith because of how we live. And that includes how we talk to people about Jesus. So that's something I hope we all do, is remember Jesus, to act according to the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to do. Now, there sure are a lot of people who say, believe only and you will be saved. Of course, that's true. But I also think of, I think of Luke 22, there's a couple of them, where we are shown that there are people who will not make it to heaven, and we don't understand that, but we know that God, Jesus, is the judge. And so we have that faith, and we live it every day and do the best we know how to fulfill our love of God and our love of our neighbor. Of course, there's different ways that we see the Bible and understand it. We understand all sorts of things. I was thinking of Luke 22:38, where it says to sell your coat and buy a sword. Now, that is something I think that was for that time. It might have been for today, too. And you could substitute buy a gun instead of saying buy a sword, because that was the same kind of a thing. And that made me think of the people who would have found a gun handy. That makes me think of the Hebrew, the Jews. And in Poland, when there was just a few rifles available in the Polish ghetto, they held off the Nazis for a few days. And during those few days, there were a number of those Jews that escaped from the police blockade on the Jewish ghetto in Warsaw. So I thought, well, now there's a case where the rifles have made a big difference to people. And so it's something that we all have to search in our own heart and search for the understanding of what the Bible tells about. And we get to figure out how to live according to what God's Word says, according to the application that we can understand. And we have a whole Bible to help us figure it out. I know there's a lot of people who think one way or the other, and well, that's what we do. We have thoughts and we act on them. I know there's people who won't get the COVID shot because they think it is not of God, because it is foreign to the body. And so they would say they don't need any man-made injections into the body. I think of the Amish people. They do not take vaccinations. And by the way, they have nearly zero autism and nearly zero autoimmune diseases among the Amish children. So we get to search out the information, get an understanding, and act on it. But speaking about the vaccine, I do want to say, here, let me look. On the Pfizer vaccine, it was patent number 111 07588. And then the letter B, as in Bob, and then 2. That is the patent number to look up for the Pfizer vaccine. And I did look that up and read about 30 pages of it, maybe 40. It's most interesting because it talks about connecting the vaccine with a radio communication, in other words, a cell phone tower, so that vaccinated people could be basically identified or talked to or something. You know, there's a mystery, and that is a mystery. How could that be? And it makes me think of, we are ignorant about so many things. And certainly that's one that I was ignorant about until this year when I looked up that Pfizer vaccine patent from 2021. All very interesting. And so I just want to say, we want to do the research to search out what this or that could mean. I don't know what it means, but I certainly get suspicious when I read those 30 pages that I read about the vaccine patent, and I think that we perish for lack of knowledge. And therefore, I want to encourage you and everyone to search out everything so that you have an understanding about what goes on in the world. I heard about this one too, and this was the Lund University in Sweden, where they said the mRNA COVID vaccine will turn into DNA in the bodies of people. So, if your children or your grandchildren have that vaccine, I don't see how you can escape it. Their genes will be changed forever because of the vaccine, according to the Lund University of Sweden. Now, I remember there was other studies done also. I did not pay attention to them because they were in the very early days of the COVID vaccine, and there were other countries and universities that did studies too. And it was all a big search for information. Now, we do try to search out information because we don't want to harm the innocent, and we don't want to harm our children. So we do want to search out this understanding and realize that there really are people that are both good and evil. And this is something we just don't want to believe, how evil some people are. But you get an understanding if you search out the information that, I'm thinking about the Georgia Guidestones and how that first so-called commandment on the Georgia Guidestones is to have the world population be 500 million. And what that means is that out of 15 people alive today, their goal is to, well, let's call it eliminate 14 people out of 15 people. That's according to the first, let's call it, commandment on the Georgia Guidestones. And that is an illustration that we really do have evil people in the world. And so, yes, we are pretty much all good people, and we can hardly believe that anybody could do that. And if we cannot conceive that there is an evil coming our way, we don't even know how to counteract it. We don't know how to defend against it because we don't believe that it really is evil. Still, I will tell you, I don't need to tell you. You know there are evil people in the world, people that both think badly about others and the ones who are just plain evil. I know, you get to figure it out and understand what evil is and what bad is and that's a lot of individual understanding, but we get it when we search. I was also thinking about another thing, which was predicting a great and massive human die-off, which was predicted to happen in the year 2025 by Deagle.com. And you can look it up. It's they call it a military source, and for certain three-letter agencies, it kind of is. They have information that could have to do with that, and of course, they don't explain their conclusions or how anything would happen. Oh, they do a little bit, but all I mean it for is an example of somebody that says something, just like about the Georgia Guidestones. That would be the same for the Deagle.com. It's people that have an idea, and you get to see it and evaluate whether it is a true threat or not. We have different examples of threats. I think of, Constance Cumby. She wrote the book, The Dangers, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, and it is about the New Age movement and how it has satanic roots. So it's not that we look at all these things. We don't see evil in the world around us as serious as it is, but we know it exists, and if we look into it a little bit, we can see that there are people that want to promote. Well, it's Lucifer's kingdom, and that's what they want to do. Oh, there was a guy named Benjamin Krim, and he was one who did that. Oh boy, I don't want to think about the names of the evil people, but there are plenty of them out there. Many people today just go by their feelings, and if they have a feeling that it's something is good or bad, they act on it. And I think we want to be very careful to remember that, well, this is 2 Timothy 4:4 that talks about sound doctrine, and we want to have and follow sound doctrine. So we can have our feelings, yes, sometimes the feelings are good, and sometimes we act on them, and it's a good thing, but we always want to remember to have sound doctrine as well. There's plenty of times that we act based on our emotion, and like I just said, sometimes it's the right thing to do. I think it's just good to have both an understanding of our emotion and an understanding of our intellectual doctrine. Now okay, I was just thinking about my missionary friends. I have a couple of missionary friends out of state. The wife, she's doing pretty good, but her husband needs a little help. Anyway, they were going into a big store, and so the wife leaves the husband off and goes to park. And then a man with a clipboard walks in, and he says, "Can I ask you a few questions?" And she said, "Okay." So he asked her a few simple questions, and then he kept getting back to this one that she wouldn't answer. "What is your street address where you live?" And she wouldn't give that. But, so, what happened after that is a woman comes up to her and gives her a hug, and that was enough to interrupt the man and his questions. And so they both separately went into that big store that they stopped to go into, and my missionary friend asked the woman in the store, "Why did you come up to me?" And the woman said, "It looked like you needed help, so I wanted to help you." Now, this is what we do often in life, is we help one another. We even have the parable of the Good Samaritan. we can help other people, whether we know them or not. So there was that lady, knowing that the missionary lady was in distress with that man asking questions. And she came up and she kind of changed the what was going on. Now, we can do that too. There are lots of opportunities in life, and we never know when they're going to come up. But if we keep aware of what's going on around us, we can find a way to do something nice for a person. We know that even, there's Matthew 25:25, where it says that if we give a drink to a person in Jesus' name, or if we visit a person in prison, or if we visit a sick person, or be kind to a stranger. See, all these things we are called on to do, to show kindness to a person. Now, I do say that whenever we do this, we should use wisdom and make sure that what we're doing is not getting trouble or making trouble develop. So we have to use our own wisdom and intellect to make sure that what we're doing is good. But sometime we can use just our emotion and know that somebody needs help. And that makes me think of, quite a few years ago now, I was at a Christian book fair. And I was tired, so I stood off to the side and was standing there for 5-10 minutes. And then a security man comes up to me and says, "Please come along." And I said, "Why?" And he talked about me being suspected. I knew what he was talking about. He was talking about something getting stolen. And there I was standing next to a Middle Eastern man and his wife. I think they were Hindis. And but he spoke up and said, "Why? What's going on? What has this man done?" And I was thankful just to have somebody else ask about what was happening. Obviously, I had not done anything. I was just standing for a break because I was tired. But it was so nice to have somebody else just come alongside of me and say, "Why? What has this man done?" Anyway, the security guy left after that Hindi man asked the questions and realized that he probably had the wrong guy. Well, he did, because I didn't do anything. But I thought about how nice it was that somebody would speak up for me. And so that's made me think of the woman who came to the rescue of the other woman, of the story that I just told. Well, we have plenty of things in the news these days, and we certainly want to be cautious when we go in the world doing whatever we're doing. And still, we want to show love and compassion. I was thinking about 4 years ago, I spoke about this on this broadcast, and I'm going to give you a short version of it today. My wife was at Costco, and she saw there was a woman selling things from Africa. And she was a little bit familiar with what she was selling, so my wife got into a conversation with the woman and found out that when this woman was a child, she made these for sale for the company, and now the company was employing her to go to different countries, and right now it was a 2-year visa in the United States to sell these handmade African items. So my wife and her just had a nice friendly conversation. The woman said she had never been in a United States home, so my wife invited her to dinner that night. And that was a good thing. She got to tell, the woman from Africa got to tell her whole story. She said it was the first time in 20 years that she had had somebody want to hear and listen to her whole story. And so we did that as a family. Well, when she was 8 years old, there was violence in her country between the Hutus and the Tutsis. And that violence went to her neighborhood. And there was a great disturbance going on. So she took her five-year-old brother, and she and the five-year-old brother went and hid in the jungle. And they were scared because they could hear people shouting and screaming. And they wouldn't come out for a day. In fact, it was on the second day that they came out of the jungle. And she found out that half of her family had been slaughtered. And to continue with that story, about the half that lived, half of those were never the same again. And half of the other half could fit into life and live normally. But there was such a mental damage done that the other half, which would mean a quarter of her family that was still alive, could not adjust to it. And so there was always an element of mental distress. Well, I think of that, about how just listening to somebody to hear their story was such a good thing. It was good for her, and it was good for my family, too. So I thank my wife for her compassion that she would invite a woman who was really a stranger into our home to meet our four children. And it was something that was good. We got to hear her story. And like I said, it was the first time that she had fully told her story because we were interested. Well, what a situation that was. We heard about it in the news, and we knew what had happened, but to have a personal story was just amazing. Now, we do know that there is violence in the world, and that reminds me of Genesis 6:11, where God saw that the earth was corrupt and filled with violence. And God was ready to destroy the world. And that makes me think about what is going on today. Look around in the world. Is the world filled with violence and wickedness? Yes, you know it is. And so you just have to wonder if God destroyed the world in Genesis 6. Well, God wanted to destroy the world again because of all the wickedness continually in the mind of men nowadays. Well, it does remind me of today, and I wonder about it, especially because people all over the earth are wondering if we are close, I mean ever so close, to the end of this age. Now, there's many people who have thought so for many years, but we see the signs of it today with wars and rumors of war and pestilence and famine. Now, we have not had famine in our nation, but we sure know that it could happen for one reason or another. So I urge you to just consider it. Seek understanding from God and try to understand what it is that you might want to do. Now, I wonder about, is it close at hand or is it a long time away? Oh, I talk with many people, and they have noticed the same thing, that we are having indicators of it being close to the end of the age. And so we often talk about if the end of the age is minutes away or months away or years away. And really, we don't know. But we know that it could be sooner rather than later. But when? Nope, nobody knows that one. But we are able to seek understanding, and that includes prayer, and try to understand and evaluate what is going on to see how much time do we have left and what should we do about it. We do live in a time when we have much knowledge and information available, but we don't have all knowledge and information. God has that. So I hope you do look and remember that the most important thing that we can do is have our relation with God Jesus. And I know there's Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. Sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? Well, have you done it? Have you lived in a way that's shown that you believe that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead? Do you tell people that? Do you have that understanding, or do you need to study Scripture more? Well, I just think that we all have this, which we are to love our Lord God and love our neighbor as ourself. So, what are we doing? I do know there's more than one passage about being saved, and I also know there's things that are a concern, like in Matthew 7. 7:22 of Matthew talks about how many will say to Jesus in that day, "We did many works in your name." And the next verse is, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Now we are left to ponder that. How can people have done works in Jesus' name? And Jesus says, "Depart, I never knew you." Well, it's not that I want to argue with my Christian brothers and sisters, but I know there's so many who say, "Only believe and you shall be saved." Well, yes, of course. That's in the Scripture. I believe it. But there might be another aspect to it. And so when I read something like Matthew 7:22, it makes me wonder how there can be people who did the works in Jesus' name, and Jesus says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And of course, that makes me wonder about anyone today. Now, I'm not the judge of anyone, but you know, you as well as anyone else except for Jesus Christ. So, are you doing what you know and what you believe? Are you living what you know and believe? Well, that's something between you and God. It's not for any man to know, but I do know a lot of pastors who will say, "Oh, now you're saved." Just like salvation is a free gift, says Ephesians 2, 7 and 8. So, do you receive that gift? Well, I guess you're saved. Okay, that's fine. I mean, that's biblical. I get it. I understand it. But I think that we all have to ask ourselves that question. Do you believe in God, Jesus Christ? Do you? And are you living a life that shows that you believe and have accepted that free gift of salvation promised in Ephesians 2, 7 and 8? Well, read that Bible, learn it, and look at it. And I always think about, well, do you know enough Scripture to say to Jesus, "Look, here's the Scripture, I'm saved"? Well, salvation is a beautiful gift, so accept it and hold it close, and then live like it is your gift. You know it and you believe it and you thank God for it. And a part of thankfulness is to say, yes, Lord, I see what you've done for me. I want to love you right back for all that you gave to me. And I think that's a part of what we do when we have received salvation. We love God back and want to do what he intends for us to do. Now, in these days, we have a lot going on. Oh, there's so much going on. We have troubles all over the place. And sometimes they're big troubles, sometimes there's little troubles, but they sure can complicate life. And I mean, it can be as simple as store closings. You know, there's a number of store closings going on from Target to Walmart. There's a bunch across the United States. And so that means two things. One is that jobs will be lost. And the other thing that it shows me is that there is a lot of wickedness in the world because they are having to close the stores because of theft and gangs coming in and stealing everything that they can take with them. I know that there are stores who have complained to law enforcement and says, we are going to have to close stores if you do not prosecute shoplifters because the losses are too heavy to the stores. I know that's going on in a number of communities, and most notable is Chicago. There are things going on in the world that we do well to look at and prepare for. Oh, I think of I would say wars, but there's conflicts going on between, so many countries in the world. China and Taiwan, Russia and Ukraine. Belarus is involved. Poland is involved. Saudi Arabia is a new factor on the world stage. And there is Israel that is a part of what's going on. You have Iran, you have Iraq, you have Yemen, you have North Korea. All these things, they can be BRICS nations or not. But whatever they are having some conflict, and this is going to reach over into our economic life, which means it'll also hit our political life. When our economy has hits to it, we learn how to avoid them. And that's something we all have to be careful about because we can see what happens when the economies go down and down and down. People struggle. There is chaos. There is violence. And people want to take from anybody who has what they want. We are living in a time when we have to pay attention to what's going on. There's a lot of movement towards AI, artificial intelligence, and a movement to promote AI. And this is going on actively. And a part of that is what happens with the surveillance systems and crypto money, a digital currency. It is all going on. And we get to see how it's going to affect our world. And do we want to be tracked completely? Because that is what's going on. We are moving towards millions of cameras, just like there are in China. We have to have an idea of what we are willing to tolerate in the United States and in the whole world. We see the whole world going towards a new order. And we get to figure out, are we going to be able to resist it? Or are we going to say, yes, Mr. Government and Mr. Federal Reserve Central Bank, we accept what you tell us to do. And therefore, we will get the comforts that we have always wanted, including food and water. Oh, let me stay connected to the electrical system. We have indicators going on that we are in troubled times economically. There's a lot of people that can see one part or another, and then they all come together and we say, wow, we really are in trouble. There's the banks that have been closing, big banks, and more bank closures than before, and we can see that that is going to continue. We can see that with the interest rates coming to increase more and more, and then we see that there are businesses that have loans and their contracts expire in next year or the year after, maybe the year after that. So they are struggling to figure out how they are going to be able to pay for the debt that they need. Not much different from you and I. When we have credit card debt, we don't know what to do to pay for the debt, and these corporations don't either. All this means that they are going to be distressed. It's going to be difficult for them. There will be businesses and properties changing hands. I have to think of Thomas Jefferson, and he predicted, based on his knowledge of history, that there would first be inflation and then deflation, and then Americans would wake up homeless in the land that their forefathers settled. So these are patterns. They have been around for 30 years, for 300 years, for 3,000 years. We know because we can study the ancient history of, sure, of Mesopotamia or Iran or any of these ancient civilizations. And Rome has been a big one because they documented things so well. We are in a place where we could have great trouble. And a part of that is inflation. So I urge everyone, if you have some money that you want to donate, it's better to donate it this year than next year, because next year our currency is set to lose 10 or maybe 20%. This is what's going on. So have a look at what you can do to promote the kingdom of God. And let me just say that if you ever want to listen to this broadcast again or any past broadcasts, please go to www.christtoday.org. And I do urge everyone to pray for the people around them, the saved and the unsaved as well. Pray for your pastor. Pray for the people that are working for God's kingdom. And I'm always glad to hear from you. And remember to love God and love your neighbor. We have a wonderful, beautiful world, and we want to do what we can to save the love that there is in the world. So love people, love God, and thank you for listening today. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Christ Today is a listener-supported ministry. Send your checks or donations to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Give me shelter, cover me.